Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Well, you got the right word. Discipline.
With all the busyness of life, managing your time can be a challenge. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Dr. Gary Chapman suggests some ways to say no to certain things.
It is discipline. And I remember when our kids were still at home, of course our kids are grown now, but when our kids were still at home, of course I was a pastor, and I had all the things that go with that. Every pastor knows all of that. You know, it's a 24-hour job. I would arrange in my schedule, if I knew I had something that I had to do at church that night, I would arrange to be home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the kids came home, and I'd have time with them, homework or whatever, before dinner, and then I'd go back to the church, but I spent that time with them. But that's discipline, because there's always something you could be doing during that time, you know.
Oh yeah.
And we have to say no to some things in order to say yes to the family.
More from Dr. Chapman at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Are you prepared? Uncle Ed's Outfitters is offering basic to advanced training. They are licensed CPRA, NRA, USCCA, and offer specialty classes in firearms assembly and maintenance courses. It's good to own a firearm, but it's a perishable skill, and you need to be prepared to use it. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Find us at AtascaderoGunShop.com. Uncle Ed's Outfitters in Atascadero on South El Camino Real in the Oaks Plaza.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. You think of Charles Dickens, you think of English literature, of sharply defined characters, unforgettable stories. But while he lived, Charles Dickens wielded his pen as a sword. 100 years ago, it slashed at the sweatshops, and as a result, national and then worldwide attention was drawn to the cruel misuse of underage children in manufacturing. Resistance was mobilized. The ears of legislators, once closed, opened, and civilization became more civilized. And yet there was one kind of forced sweat work that social activist Charles Dickens applauded. That was when short-term prisoners, pickpockets, vagrants, prostitutes, petty thieves, when they were punished productively. Several at a time, they were placed on a large treadmill. Looked something like the paddle wheel on the rear of an early riverboat. In fact, it was called the tread wheel. And as I say, the prisoners, several at a time, side by side on this huge rotating device, would walk turning the wheel. Thus, collective muscle power was harnessed to mill wheels, which in turn ground grain. In this way, convicts earned their keep, worked off their debts. At the Smithsonian, you can see an example of the first British prisoner-powered tread wheel. It was invented by Sir William Cubitt in 1818. Mr. Dickens, in 1853, wrote, quote, "It is a satisfaction to me to see a determined thief, swindler, or vagrant sweating profusely at the treadmill." It was the punishment aspect of which the author approved. And so, all in favor, the treadwheel was a success in Britain, but it was rejected in the United States. Until now. Until now. That's the rest of the story. Treadwheels, or at least modern versions of them, are in use in the United States today. One version looks like an enormous wall with pegs in it. You climb the wall from peg to peg, but as you do, the wall rolls backward and at precisely the same speed that you are climbing, so you stay in place. You never get to the top, but you keep climbing. And I think I know why in these presumably enlightened times such a device is still employed. It has something to do with something that was said in the times of Charles Dickens by another writer. The other writer, observing the use of treadwheels in prisons, wrote, quote, "The health of convicts, the health of convicts was reportedly improved as a result of treading the wheels. The health of convicts was improved. This very day, this very night, in innumerable locations across our nation, the tread wheel and its progeny are being sweated on and sweated over. 181 years after its invention, people are now paying to get on. Rather than a punishment for criminals, we are paying to get on the tread wheel in health clubs everywhere. We're eager to punish ourselves for our health. As convicts were once punished for their crimes and thus got healthier, so do we, but now voluntarily. And that is the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon and welcome back to Sound Off. Again, my name's Eric Gorham. I'm filling in for Karen Veeley, who's out on assignment. So I'd keep my eye out on calcoastnews.org and see what she's up to, because she's always putting out new stories. And we have our district attorney here in the studio, Dan Dow. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Eric. It's great to be back.
I know it's good to have you here. And this time, I think you have an issue that we need, you know, maybe the community needs to support you, but understand.
Right.
Because you see a lot of things in the news. I know Karen's written some things. I know the Tribune has written some things. I believe, what's the other one there?
New Times, sorry.
Okay. I believe they've written some stuff about this, and we've seen it on social media. But I want to give you this first segment and take whatever time you want to just tell us what's happening and tell us what your needs are and what, how they're being met or not being met, or just fill us in.
Yeah, well, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity. On May 19th, I went to the Board of Supervisors because we're very close to our budget hearings. And every year, the County Board of Supervisors has to develop a budget for the next fiscal year. We tend to approve them in the first week of June, and then it goes into effect July 1st. And the process actually started last October, November. Every department is given tasks of projecting what they think their expenses are going to be the next year. Over the last several years, and it's a multi-month process. So we've been working with the executive office now since November, December, on projecting for them what we're going to need to run our office, as have my other colleagues in their departments. Unfortunately, this particular year, the executive office has not agreed with us on what we require for next year. They've not recommended to the board that they support the positions that we need to fully fulfill the duty that we have as district attorney. We're under the Constitution required to investigate and prosecute all crime within the county of San Luis Obispo. And by the way, the California Constitution doesn't just give that duty to the DAs and to the sheriff their duties, but it tells local government under, I think it's Article 12, Section 35, it tells the local government that the public safety shall be the primary, the very first responsibility of local government. So our California Constitution tells our County Board of Supervisors that public safety shall be your first responsibility. So the DA is a part of that. And so my duty as DA is not just to prosecute crime, but it's to ensure that we have the right resources in order to do it efficiently, effectively, and to fulfill our constitutional mandates. What I will tell you briefly is that the law has changed so much over the last 15 years since realignment started in 2011 until where we are today in 2026. The work that we do in the DA's office is incredibly more complex. We have increasing caseloads, which I'll talk about in a few minutes, but we also have things that are bringing cases back to court that we've never had before. Your listeners are familiar with elderly parole, and a guy named David Allen Funston, who was sentenced to hundreds of years for child molestation of little children, was released because he's considered elderly at the age of 64. and he was allowed to get out when he should never have seen the light of day. Cases like that, early parole, or on the other end of the spectrum. By the way, you and I, since we're over 50, we're considered elderly.
Are we?
And we would be eligible for that early release from prison, even if we've committed a life offense like that, you know, or an offense with hundreds of years that we are required to serve in prison.
So 50 is that qualifier?
50.
Oh, wow.
50 plus 20 years of your term. So if you were 30 when you committed your offense and you are sentenced to 200 years, you only have to live till 50, and then in prison you're eligible for that parole hearing for early release. And they're letting people. This guy, David Allen Funston, told the parole board when he went before them that he was still daily visualizing and fantasizing sexual acts with children. He said that, that when he's asking to leave the prison, any reasonable, right-minded individual on that parole commission should have said, nope, sorry, you're not eligible, even under the this new program. But they did. They let him out. The on the other end, if you're a youthful offender, you can be up to 25 when you commit an offense. And you also are eligible to get out early under the similar. You could be sentenced to do a couple hundred years, but if you were under 25, I'm sorry, under 26 when you committed the offense, then you're eligible to get out after serving, I think it's 20 years. So it's those things bring added workload on our office. There's a thing called the Racial Justice Act. There's a thing called race-blind charging, where the state did not give us any additional funding, but now it takes twice as long to review a case for filing, because we have to strip off all of the names and identifying information, prior criminal history, their race, their gender, all of those things, have to strip them from the reports, then read them and say, would I file this case? If so, then you you click another button and it will give you the unredacted, and then you go through, and if you file it, you can look at the data to say, was somebody being biased, racially biased or gender biased when they evaluated this case? So they've added additional mandates to our duty without giving us any additional funding. We've absorbed a lot of this additional workload, and we've worked with the county the last 5 years. There have been budget cuts the last several years, so many that I've had to cut five positions. I was up at 113 full-time employees several years ago. We're down to 108 because of the cuts that we've been required to participate in. And we've just been a collaborative partner with the County Administrative Office. This year, with the increased workload and the increased crime, I'm at a point where I cannot go forward and fully prosecute the cases that we have without these five positions. To give an example, Prop 36 that 70% of our county voted for and the state voted for, that was to make theft a crime again and make drug use, repeat drug use, a crime again. We've had 474 recidivist drug felony cases to prosecute, and 146 recidivist felony theft cases. Those are all, for the most part, a very high percentage of those are related to drug addiction, of those theft cases. So that alone is collectively is more than what one deputy DA would be assigned in terms of volume of cases. So now is the time for us to receive the support that we need from the county board. By the way, the amount that we're asking for to fund these five positions is less than 0.1% of the county general fund expenditure. To give you an example, your listeners might not know this, but the HHS, the Health and Human Services departments within the county, they receive $300 million from federal and state sources. And then they received $60 million in this new year. It's actually less than what they were getting in prior years. But the county executive office is recommending that they get $60 million this year on top of the $300 million they got from the feds. That $60 million they're getting from general fund is more than three times the amount that my office gets from the general fund. So the Department of Social Services and the health agency, they do good work. I mean, a lot of that stuff is important, but it's not the public safety in terms of crime on the streets in our communities and in our neighborhoods, which is supposed to be the first responsibility of local government. So I'm not saying where this money should be cut from, if it has to be cut from another department, but if the board is telling the community where their priorities are, let's look at their checkbook. $60 million to Health and Human Services, $19 million to the DA's office, and I'm showing them with data why we need these five positions.
All right. So interesting. And I've seen, so when you went on there, it looked like one of the supervisors didn't really agree with you.
That's true. My good friend, Supervisor Bruce Gibson from the district on the coast. And unfortunately, you know, I've worked very hard to try to establish a professional collaborative relationship with the supervisor, but he's made it known to me from day one when I was elected in 2014 that he sees the world very differently. As you know, he did not. He's the one board member that did not endorse Prop 36. All the other four did. They supported Proposition 36. He has often said, well, public safety comes first after legal mandates and debt service. No, the Constitution doesn't say after other legal mandates. It says it shall be your first responsibility, public safety is. And that is a legal mandate because it's in the Constitution. So Bruce Gibson, through his language, has really, unfortunately, shaped and moved the board's position on that away from what the constitutional mandate is for county government.
All right. Yeah. And so realistically, is there, if the county says no and you can't fulfill your duties, do you have any recourse or what happens with this?
Well, whether there's recourse or not, I certainly hope we don't get there. I'm confident we only need three supervisors to vote in favor of what I'm asking for during the budget hearings, because during budget development and the passage of a budget, three out of five is sufficient. Mid-year, if we were to come back mid-year and try to get some additional augmentation to our budget, it would take four of five. And so Now is the time to do it. So I'm hoping that your listeners will reach out to their supervisors, whomever they are. You know, Supervisor Pashong here, he's a strong ally with public safety. I don't see a problem there. Supervisor Heather Moreno, she's brand new to the board, and she's also an ally and a supporter of law enforcement. I'll be meeting with her soon and to talk with her specifically about why these requests are necessary. So I hope we don't have to go to a legal recourse if we aren't funded. But I will tell you the first thing that would be obvious is that if we don't have the restoration of the deputy district attorney that was taken away from us a couple of years ago, we will have to make some hard decisions. I will personally about what crimes not to prosecute in our community. While 70% of our population and four out of five supervisors have said they supported Prop 36, as I said, we've had over 600 cases due to Prop 36 come to our office that are now felonies. I think that's a good thing. I want to continue prosecuting them. But that is more than enough work for one deputy DA. If we're not funded, I'll have to make a tough decision on perhaps not even prosecuting these cases that Prop 36 now allows us to prosecute.
Yeah, it's never a good thing. So as far as, you know, you can always get out there, you can go to the county and actually send an email to every single supervisor. I think there's actually a button, or you can send one to yours.
That's right.
What else can people do if they want to support you in this?
Well, I would request that they do that, that they find who their supervisor is, contact that one. They want to contact all five, great. I think the ones that that represent you in your district are going to be the ones that listen more to what you have to say. And so do that through the website. You can actually go and read my press release on this issue if you go to slocounty.ca.gov/DA, slocounty.ca.gov/DA, and my press release is there, and you can click on the link and it will take you to where you can contact the supervisors. But secondly, you know, share it. Talk with your friends and neighbors. You know, the DA's office has done remarkable work. And for, I think, too long, because we've been able to get along well with the executive office and the board and receive funding that has been appropriate, I think the public just thinks we're a commodity. You just, you know, plug your cord into the wall and the DA's office is always going to be there, always going to continue to provide the service. But the fact is, we have to be funded by county government. Eric, you'd be fascinated to know, with the advent of technology and digital evidence, body cams, surveillance systems, digital evidence that we're getting in cases now, our paralegals and our attorneys have to look at all of our evidence for every case. Our paralegals handle the receipt of it from law enforcement or from other referral agencies. They then process it, they review it, they discover it to the defense attorneys, and then they store it, and then they have to prepare it for trial. Data alone, in 2018, just under 8 years ago, we had less than 1 terabyte annually of digital evidence that was submitted to our office. It went up exponentially. In 2019, it was at almost, it was just under 10 terabytes. Today, in 2025, that we just ended, it was about 35 terabytes of data. So it's going up exponentially. And we have not increased our paralegal staff since 2014. So we've gone 12 years with the existing number of paralegals that are doing the lion's share of that work. But every single deputy DA as well, who has a case with digital evidence, they're responsible for reviewing that evidence, making sure that in some cases, if there's any exculpatory information that goes to help an accused, maybe to exonerate someone, we've got to find that, we've got to discover it, and we want to make sure that we're not going forward on a case that we shouldn't. And so it helps us prove our cases. It also helps us sometimes exonerate them. But just that alone, if you look at that graph,
right, wow,
less than 1 terabyte all the way up to nearly 40, 2026.
A terabyte is a lot of information. I don't know how to get that across on the airwaves, but that's a lot of information.
Absolutely. Because in 2018, we had a lot of digital data, and it was less than 1 terabyte for the entire year, and it's absolutely huge now.
And maybe our phone lines have been lighting up a little bit, but I wanted to get that information out to begin with. So maybe let's take a quick call before we go to the break. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling into Sound Off.
Oh, thanks. It's Eric, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to ask your guest, I think he maybe explained it already, but so he was talking about like druggy cases and stuff like that. But if, say, for example, the budget was cut on investigating pollution cases, you know, and so I noticed the other day the National Chemical Safety Board has been defunded. So how's that going to affect his pollution cases?
We'll get right back to that after the break. I'm sorry we kind of ran out of time, but I'll have Dan answer that when you're off air and when we come right back. And we'll be right back with more Sound Off.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Anthropic passing OpenAI as the world's most valuable AI startup. Anthropic is now valued at $965 billion after its latest funding round. Anthropic launching its newest Claude version Thursday, Opus 4.8. Unilever planning to build a new research facility in the U.S., an investment worth $270 million. London-based Unilever is the parent company of a multitude of beauty and personal care brands, including Dove, Tresemme, and Vaseline. Best Buy stock soaring Thursday after posting higher profit in its quarterly report. The electronics retailer experienced a bump in sales from its gaming, computer, and cell phone products. Wall Street ending Thursday on an upswing. The Dow rising 25, S&P gaining 43, NASDAQ soaring 243. And that's your Fox Business Report. I'm Laura Cantor, invested in you.
You know, protecting your home should not be a headache. Many security companies, they lock you into these multi-year contracts. No, SimpliSafe Home Security, they do things differently. With SimpliSafe, you get award-winning 24/7 professional monitoring around $1 a day without any long-term commitment. SimpliSafe, they just want to earn your trust every day by doing a great job. Right now, you'll get 50% off your custom system by going to simplysafe.com/Hannity. Half off when you go to simplysafe.com/Hannity. And remember, there's no safe like SimpliSafe.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219-9910.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And welcome back to Sound Off. We're here talking about the budget for our DA, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase, I think, what the last caller was asking, which is interesting. Hopefully we're on air. I just went silent.
I can't hear you either.
We're going to keep talking either way because I believe we're on air, but I'm not sure what's going on. But I think the question was basically, you know, priorities. So he was talking about air resources, but you're going to, at some point, if you don't have the money, probably have to prioritize cuts. And what does that look like? What do you think it looks like?
Well, you know, I appreciate the question, and it will be a tough decision. As I was telling you off air, you know, luckily I have not had to. I have not had to make that Hobson's choice before. Some counties have. There are counties out there that prosecute no misdemeanors except for misdemeanor DUI and misdemeanor domestic violence. You know, no theft cases, for instance. I just met with some colleagues from different parts of the state who say that as soon as a theft crime comes in the door, they stick it in a drawer. And they say, we're just going to stick it in a drawer and I guess divert it and not prosecute it because they don't have the time or the resources to be able to handle it. I don't want to have to make that choice. In terms of pollution, you know, our office doesn't, we do have an environmental protection and a consumer protection. Thankfully, both of those positions that we have there are able to at least partially and largely offset the general fund expenditure for those, because over time, as you have cases and there are civil settlements, those funds are then required to be used to support future activity in that space. But basically, what I'm inclined to do right now is to say that we are not able to prosecute Proposition 36 theft and drug cases because they are not violent. They're not, you know, specifically causing another victim. They are. They're not victimless crimes. I'm not here to tell you that at all. But if I have to weigh in balance and choose what gets the priority, it will probably be those ones that the people said we want those prosecuted. So my urgent request to the board and to the county executive office is please find a way. This is less than 0.1% of the general fund budget. They have it in contingencies that they could pull in, and it wouldn't even move the needle on their contingencies. I need a restored deputy district attorney so that we can prosecute those Prop 36 cases. I need a restored administrative assistant so that our supervisors in the office aren't taking turns sitting at the front desk, losing productive time, and not able to adequately handle the public, the attorneys, the victims, and the people coming into our front office. And then a restored victim advocate. You know, we serve over 10,000 victims typically every single year. And our victim advocates are the ones that make the process more humane.
Right.
And we had to cut our victim advocate last year. And so each victim advocate now has way more cases, which means they're not able to help those victims in a way that complies with the constitutional mandate under Marcy's Law. Volume alone, it makes it impossible to be able to have the kind of handholding and advice that they need to provide to victims. And then finally, the paralegal. We've not had a new one since 2014, and their workload has exponentially grown. I'm not asking to build a kingdom. I'm asking for exactly what we want. I will tell you that the list that I provided to the administrative office has a whole lot of other things in addition to it that we were asking for, including the purchase of the Fitzpatrick building on Santa Rosa, because that building would be ideal for the DA's office, and the county will be needing to build a new DA office very soon once the court finishes construction of the new courthouse, which is a project that's been underway now for a couple of years. Not the construction, but the planning and design and the right. and the preparation for that.
Well, definitely doesn't sound unreasonable. It sounds like you know the office is growing. It's suffered cuts, and now it's time to give a little bit of funding. I don't really quite understand why we couldn't do that, especially if you can do it with contingencies. They're always nice to have, but if you can fully fund public safety, I think it's well worth it. We do have a call. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in the Sound Off.
Oh, well, yeah, thanks. I was the one that called earlier about the budget cuts and justice. And it's nasty because when you start to think about it, they're saying that justice is not cost effective. That some the person that gets prosecuted doesn't have the ability to get a lawyer. If they get tortured in jail, they don't have an advocate. So justice is not cost effective.
Well, we certainly.
I was the one that called about pollution.
Right.
And what I'm leading up to is that if you have a pollution case and you need to have an expert look at your data, look at those samples, and the Chemical Safety Board has all of a sudden been defunded, where do district attorneys, prosecuting attorneys, state attorneys go for data for types of chemicals?
Well, you're exactly right. If those funds have been cut and those agencies are not able to provide that information, then it wouldn't be available to us, or we would have to go out and spend more local money to get that through an outside third party expert. Thank you for your call.
Right. So polluters would get away with it, right?
Absolutely, and that's what we're trying to avoid here. Is that's why public safety is the primary first responsibility of government. We want to ensure that you and I, when we walk down the streets, when our loved ones and children are going to school, that they're not going to be accosted, they're not going to be given drugs, they're not going to be robbed, they're going to be safe. And the elderly in our community, the other position that I didn't mention a moment ago is an elder abuse prosecutor. You know, the number of elders in our community is now, the largest group of our population in San Luis Obispo County, or we are at least one of the top four counties in elder population percentage-wise. And they are getting victimized with scams. There are sadly too many cases of even physical abuse, emotional neglect, physical neglect. And my office wants to be able to adequately and fully work with the elder ombudsman, work with the county health agency that works with the elderly, and work with our law enforcement agencies and first responders so that we can provide full protection for the elders in our community. And people like Eric Vitale that are going after title fraud and all this financial scam crime out there. But unfortunately, we don't have the funds to full-time fund a dedicated prosecutor to elder abuse like we're currently doing for sexual assault and domestic violence.
Well, it's funny because the billionaires are the polluters and they don't want to get taxed. So it kind of looks like Project 2025 maybe ought to have their nonprofit status taken away and maybe looked at as participants in major crimes.
All right. Thank you, sir. And so I want to go back. I know there's going to be some more meetings coming up in the Board of Supervisors. And I don't have all the dates. I'm guessing you might. And yes. What can people do? I mean, I think they can come speak for one. And when you get a big turnout, it sometimes sways. And I look at people like Don Ortiz-Legg. I think she generally cares about the community. Sometimes she votes a party line, and sometimes people get through to her, and she votes with her conscience. You know, and I think she could be a third vote for you pretty easily if people show up.
That's right. I think you are correct. The next meeting that the board has is on June 2nd. That I won't be appearing and speaking on this issue then. I will be, though, the following Monday. The budget hearings are scheduled. They start on the Monday before the Tuesday meeting. So June 8th is the date for people to come and speak directly to it, because I'm going to be presenting that day. But I would recommend that any of your listeners that are willing and believe this is important to encourage the board to fund it, that they go this Tuesday on June 2nd and speak at the general public comment, because it won't be an item that's on the agenda, and ask them to fund what the DA is asking for. It's the restoration of three of the five positions that were required to be cut, and then it's an additional two positions. Now, there's other two. We lost five. There are two that I'm not asking to be restored because I now want to use those positions for different work that I think now is more important, and that is the elder prosecutor and the victim advocate. So, I'm sorry, the paralegal and the elder abuse prosecutor. But I would encourage your folks to email the supervisors and then show up on Tuesday, June 2nd at public comment. Urge them to come together with the DA's office to find a solution that we can then implement on Monday, June 8th.
All right. And do you know, I can't remember how this worked. I used to actually know, but when you email a supervisor, does that go on the record during the meeting, or can it go on the record? Or
I don't know that it does automatically. I have seen emails that have been published as a part of the board meeting. I think it should, as long as it's identified as being a comment on a particular item number. So if you're commenting on the budget, it should be. But you know, I'm not sure exactly. The clerk of the board is the one that handles and makes sure that all the appropriate records are in the official meeting record.
And to me, I would think if the sheriff's department and the DA's department is funded where they can work efficiently, that's a deterrent within itself.
Absolutely. And you know, every time, this is another thing, is that when the other law enforcement agencies in the county are given increased funding and allowed increased positions, what does that translate into? More work, better work on the part of those law enforcement agencies, and then more cases. Those cases come to my office. If my office is not allowed to grow with our resources to match the resources going to law enforcement, then it's impossible for us to keep doing it. You know, and we stretch. I will tell you, our team believes very much in the work that they do. They work incredibly hard. But we at this time need some additional resources.
And we do have another caller. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in. If we get you to turn down your radio just a little bit.
Yeah, that's fine. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes.
Yeah, you know, since you're talking about adding to the or expanding or continuing funding of the district attorney's office, which I have no problem with, what is the district attorney doing with the amount of outright fraud that has been going on in the state of California and obviously in the county of San Luis Obispo? What is the district attorney doing working with the federal authorities to ensure that we're not getting ripped off like we have been for years now? And it's taking away from, you know, organizations like our sheriffs, our district attorney's offices, and all the other nonsense. Nobody seems to really care about the fraud and the corruption that's going on right under our noses.
Well, I appreciate your sentiment very much, and I'll tell you that Bill Isaley, who is the first assistant U.S. attorney in Los Angeles County that covers the district that we are in, he and I speak regularly on issues like that. And we work with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, their office out of Santa Maria, and some other federal agencies on crime generally that's occurring in San Luis Obispo County. I don't have any specific case information about fraud within our county that I could report on today, but I am incredibly grateful for the hard work of Bill Isaley in Los Angeles. He was really the U.S. attorney, but because of the Senate not being willing to confirm him, his title is the first assistant U.S. attorney. He's doing an incredible job. They have filed fraud cases just recently, since Nick Shirley has identified some, and other Federal Bureau of Investigation investigations have resulted in other prosecutions. And they're doing a great job, and I'd love to see more of it here. And my Bureau of Investigation at the DA's office, we have financial crime investigators, and we have assigned prosecutors. When those cases are brought to our attention, we will be more than willing to work with our federal partners to ensure that we can identify it, and hopefully they can prosecute it federally because they'll get better sentences under federal law. But if it's a case that's appropriate for state prosecution, we would be all over it.
All right, let's go to the next caller. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in to Sound Off.
Hi, yeah, this is Linda George, and I have a question. What are your thoughts, Mr. Dow, about the governor not funding Prop 36 again this year in this recent budget, and what is the best way to move forward with getting that funded?
I think it is, it's an embarrassment that our governor will not fund an initiative that 70% of Californians said they wanted. Bipartisan, people all across the political spectrum, the Democratic mayor of San Jose, Democrat, you know, assembly folks and senators came together and said, we need this kind of reform. So it's really unforgivable that the governor won't put it in the budget. I'm not surprised, but in our community, we've been able to do it. But I won't be able to if I don't get our prosecutor funded.
And we're out of time. Thanks for calling in. We'll be right back with the last segment of Sound Off. If you want to call in, you have a question, now is the time.
Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
I've got deals on latex beds. I've got deals on memory foam beds.
We're talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist.
I've got beds with springs, hybrids, where they got springs and memory foam, or springs and latex, or some with even springs, latex, and memory foam. I've got them all.
Big savings now on mattresses of all shapes and sizes at the Mattress Specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Serving San Luis Obispo County for your weed abatement needs, your best bet is Ken Silva. From half acre to 25 acres, integrity, hard work, and quality service. Mowing accomplished with tractor and flail mower, which is cost effective and more efficient. Clean it and cut it with Ken Silva. Free estimates. Call or text Ken Silva, 805-459-6011.
And welcome back to Sound Off. We're in our last segment with our district attorney, Dan Dow. Thanks again for coming in. I think we might just go right to a call. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in the Sound Off.
Hi. Number one, I would like to thank you, Dan, for your service both to our country and here at home in our local community.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I appreciate it. It's good to hear your voice.
Nice to hear you, sir. I have a question here, and it is something that I would like to see more of, and it is a funding for a special investigative unit within your office that goes after local corruption, not just the fraud, but local corruption on a political level and perjury, going after people for perjury. Is this in the works?
Well, I have, as you know, when I ran for office, I established the public integrity unit that my predecessor did not have, and we have committed resources to it. What I will tell you is it may not be the most popular thing with five supervisors, if it means that there's going to be more accountability in the public area, and in terms of getting them to fund it specifically, I don't know. But I will tell you, no matter what they cut from my budget, I will never cut that from my priority list, because the integrity of our elected officials, our appointed officials, the employees, and those that are in positions of trust requires that we hold them accountable. So no matter how much they cut my budget, I will never cut that as a priority. And you know, Jeff, I don't know if you heard me say this the other day, but I wanted to get this in. Over the nearly 12 years I've been DA. There have been 11 budget cycles so far that I've presided over. We have given back out of 11 years, we have given back money that was appropriated to us on the general fund, totaling $3.5 million. So I've, as a conservative, I'm a fiscal conservative. As a Republican, I'm a Reagan Republican that says government is not the answer to the problems. We need to keep government limited, get them out of the hands of business owners, for instance. And so I want a limited government. I don't want to have a big DA's office, but I need just the right amount. And that's what we're asking for this time. But we have traditionally saved the county money, given it back to them in a fiscally responsible way. We're asking now for a modest amount as an increase, because we have the statistics to show that we need it. We had nearly 12,000 cases last year. We have very high caseloads per attorney in our office, and we have the growing crimes against elders in our community. We need to fully fund an elder prosecutor, and if we want to prosecute the Prop 36 cases that 70% of our voters said they wanted, then I need to restore the deputy DA that was cut from our office several years ago.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I will tell you, it again, thank you for all you're doing in our community. You've done amazing since you've been in office. What is so sad, sir, is we're watching someone like Bruce Gibson, also an elected official, with your behavior and what you've demonstrated since you've been there, you would think that this man would see it for what it is and support and listen to what you have to say. Sad for the people that he turns a blind ear to all of this.
Well, I certainly appreciate your sentiment and your support, and I will continue to remain hopeful, and I'll continue to reach out to Mr. Gibson in hopes that perhaps he can support my request.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. We have to get to the next caller. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in the Sound Off.
Hi, good afternoon. I am particularly interested in the elder prosecutor, let's say. Paso Robles has a population of 6,600 people out of 33,000. 6,600 people are over the age of 65. We have a significant amount of elder abuse that goes around, but my question is always, how do you educate the elders when a lot of them still are not technically inclined, they're not up to date with that? I would like to see a program that maybe goes to the different cities and has some sort of a program where you can explain to people what it is they need to do if they feel like there's elder abuse going on. Because that yes. word doesn't get around if you're not on a computer.
Thank you so much. In fact, that is exactly one of the responsibilities that I've written into my request for an elder prosecutor, is for that person to work with our investigative bureau to go into the communities, into the retirement communities, into the clubhouses, and go in person. Now, we are doing that now. We just don't do it often enough. We'll do it maybe once a year. I want to do it every quarter all around the county in the various areas so that we're saturating and we're getting the information to people. You're exactly right. My own mom that passed away when she was 84, I was on the phone with her. She lived in a small town in Maine. I was on the phone with her, talking with her, while she was being scammed on her other phone.
And, oh, wow.
And it was hard for me to even convince my mom. She's like, well, the man sounds so nice. Like, I don't want to be rude to him. I said, Mom, hang up on him. He's a scammer, and you're not being rude. He's the one that's being rude. But, and I say that because I know from personal experience how convincing these scammers can be if it's on the phone or on any kind of technology. But then there are people that worm their way into someone's good graces. They'll say, I'll come over and I'll help you out. And there are some good, wonderful people that'll do that. But you want to make sure that you check them out, make sure that they have good references, make sure that they're not a scammer waiting to take advantage of someone. So that is exactly the kind of thing that our elder prosecutor will be doing in the community when they're not in court prosecuting the cases that they're working up.
Yeah, well, I certainly hope so, because the certainly the scammers, and they grow exponentially, and there isn't a day that goes by that I don't read somewhere online where somebody has been taken advantage of. So clearly the word is just not getting out how you avoid this. So I appreciate anything. I live in Quail Run. You've been here before.
Yes.
And so I would so look forward to having some sort of a gathering where our folks could be made aware.
Thank you. And are you in the district that originally voted for Bruce Gibson, but now is back in supervisor Pechong?
No, this would be Pechong. This is over east side of town there.
Because there's a part of our North County that technically, in the last election, voted for that district.
And, yeah, it wouldn't have been here, though. It would have been in Atascadero or Templeton.
I see.
Yes. John Pechong is our supervisor. Something tells me, though, that there is a, like, southern tip of the North County or something that might belong to Bruce Gibson. I'm not sure about that.
Right.
All right. Well thank you for calling in.
Yes, thank you so much.
So one thing I want to get to is, you know, you kind of asked people to come out on, was it the 2nd?
2nd.
And I think people get intimidated by that. And really, to me, what this is about is getting on the record that people show up. And really, this can be as easy as walking in and saying, you put your slip in, they call you up. And all you really have to say is, I think we need to fully fund the DA's office and what they're asking for.
That's right.
Very simple as that. You don't have to go into some big, long, articulate thing. Some people will, some people won't. But just getting on the record, I believe, you know, I'm John Smith. I'm from Paso Robles, and I believe we fully need to fund our district attorney's office and what he's asking for.
And if you appreciate the hard work of my team, and look, I don't want to take credit for it. I've got an amazing team of 108 individuals. They collectively have prosecuted Paul Flores for the murder of Kristen Smart. They have worked on prosecuting Carlo Fuentes Flores for murder of Nancy Woodrum. They have taken down human traffickers up and down our Central Coast. They have stopped a lot of the real estate fraud, returning tens of millions of dollars to people that would have otherwise lost lots and lots of money. They're the ones prosecuting domestic violence, child molesters, I already mentioned the human traffickers. And if you believe in that work, and if you think that under my term as district attorney that we've done good work, I would be honored to have your support. And I hope that you are not, too worried about, nervous about going down there and speaking. These supervisors work for us. Mm-hmm. They work for you. And you going down there and just politely saying, I hope you're going to support the DA's request would mean a lot to me. I appreciate so much support across this county. I'm very grateful for it. Serving as your district attorney is a real honor. It's important work. It's hard work. There are days that are better than others, Eric. Right. There are some days that,
So real quick, I don't mean to cut you off, but this isn't an agenda item, so they would be saying this during...
regular general public comment.
General public comment. I just want to make sure, so if you go there, you're not, when do I speak? I mean, I want to make this as easy as possible for anybody that wants to go out. And I think the same thing goes with an email. Again, all you have to do is say, there is a button, I'm pretty sure, that you can send it to all of them, but you can find your person. You can say, hey, we really need to fund the district attorney's office and give him what he's requesting. This is a public safety issue.
Yes.
Leave it at that. And then show up, too. You can do both. You can show up that day during general comment. Make the comment. It goes on the record. Enough people show up, it starts to sway people.
Absolutely. And I've already heard from a couple of the supervisors that they've received, numerous emails. And so keep them coming. Our team loves the work that we do. We want to continue to do it. We don't want to have to not prosecute the Prop 36 cases or anything else. We want to be there for you all the time. All we're asking of the board is to give us the funding that we need to ensure that we can do it. It's less than 0.1% of the general fund budget, and I know they have it there.
And I will tell you, I've seen people go down there, they end up meeting people, Joe's here, and they have a great time. But I'm going to give you the last little bit of the show.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for listening today. I hope that you will support and encourage your supervisor to vote yes on what the DA is asking for his budget.
Perfect. Well, thanks again for coming in, and I hope everybody can either write an email or come on down to public comment next Tuesday. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'll be in next week with Barry. We have an election special, so tune in on Tuesday. We'll have a lot of special guests that day.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.